is The Bump, the one podcast SA footy fans need to hear, where the biggest names tackle the biggest South Australian footy stories. Roo, Dits, Bernie, Jars, Triple M's The Bump.
G'day everybody, this podcast The Bump is global. I've got Mark Rusciutto here in the building. Roo?
Why haven't we got a sponsor for this podcast that rates its ass off?
Can I have say hello to Bernie Vince?
Hello, do you want me to sponsor it? Roo, you should sponsor it.
Who's what?
Mark Rusciutto Industries.
Okay, we'll do that.
Yeah.
All right. Rupert's Enterprises.
We'll get for it. Good Contra. Question. Good
Pay
question. We need to follow that up. This is a huge podcast show.
Why wouldn't a global
That's
supporter?
It.
Like,
great question.
Get on board.
Millions
Come on.
Of views.
Where are you? Where are you, everybody? No, and apologies for Chris Dittmar. He's not on today.
No.
Why is that?
He's getting grand final tickets organised for September for Port Adelaide, who are just chugging along.
Are they?
Reasonably
chugging
well.
Along.
Are they going under the radar a bit, Roo?
No, I don't think so.
Or is it too early?
Well, they're in the top four.
Yeah, cruising along, 4-1, only lost to Melbourne in a good tight game.
The first 6 to 8 weeks, that's where you set your season up. Yeah, and they're doing that beautifully. Now, talking about Port Adelaide, Butters. The MRO said no incident.
Case to answer.
No case. You're free to play. I think they made the right decision because he hit his torso. Hit him around the chest
they
area.
Didn't. He hit
him
in the
no,
head.
There was contact to the head.
To the torso.
He didn't even touch his torso. He hit
did.
Him clearly
his
in the
chest.
Head.
So I think it was a good decision by the match
Mate,
review.
Go back and watch it.
I've watched it about 10 times.
No, explain
watch
torso,
it 20
Jazz.
Times.
Right where's, here, where, yeah, my,
we're
where
a radio,
my big chest is.
We're a radio show,
yeah, well,
so
the big
you need
chest,
to explain
the chest
it.
Area, burn.
Yes.
Did you That's have where your goggles rubbing, on it, back to front?
No, not at all. I think it was a good decision.
He hit him in the jaw.
He didn't hit him in the jaw.
Do you want your bet
Banfield
on
kept
how
playing
much
on.
Money do you want to bet on it?
I beg your pardon?
How much money do you want to bet on?
I'm not putting any money on it.
You're going up against Rupert Enterprises.
Let's go.
So you reckon he should have copped a week for
that? A lunch date.
Yeah, all right, done.
No, I didn't say he should have copped. I said he bumped him in the head.
I don't think he. Well, I watched it, and all I could see was just his torso
your job
and his
today,
chest area.
Your job today is to go and re-look at it.
Yeah, hang on,
all you
hang
have
on.
To do
so you
is
reckon
Google
he should have got a week for that then?
I didn't say that.
But you think he should have got a week for the hit?
I think
he's lucky.
There's hardly any difference between the bumps of Matt Crouch and Zach Butters.
Matty Crouch is stiff as well because he was going for the ball. His eyes were fixed on the ball.
Well, he went to bump.
You hit in the head.
And if you
you're
go
gone.
To bump and you get him high, you
stiff,
get done.
But you're gone now.
Stop winking at Bernie
and
trying to set me up.
No, we're not.
You said you've watched it 10 times. How many times do you need to watch it to see if you got him in the head?
No, because
do
I try and watch 10? All angles.
Bernie, oh, what do you angles? Agree with me? He hit him in the head.
He got him in the head.
He did get him
and
in the
head.
And
the jaw and neck is classed
oh,
as the...
Oh, that's fine. We're just watching this. We're just watching it. Yeah, they're good boy.
Jesus,
that didn't hit him in the head.
Killed him.
That hit him
Banfield
in the head.
Jumped straight up and play
it,
on.
It didn't hit him super hard, but it hit him in the head.
Got him in the jaw.
It hit him in the torso, around the chest area, up near the collarbone area.
Did he touch the ball?
He did another 10.
He had his fingertip on it.
That's actually
he went past
that's a different
it by
angle.
About a meter. He hit it with that much
that's
pace.
A different angle. I reckon he maybe should have got two.
Make it a month.
Bloody hell!
Yeah, make it a month.
Make
Everyone
it
else.
A month.
But
straight
Matty
to the
Crouch,
tribunal. David King would have given Matty him Crouch. 15 weeks.
That's a message to that's, the comp.
Do we need to
like
have another
said,
look at that one?
Matty Crouch. Well, no, but I thought he was firmly fixed on the football. Good contest. That's what you encourage your players to do yeah, as a coach. Do.
But the rules these days, and it changed over the
rules.
Summer, even if the bloke had bad technique and approached the ball front on, in that situation, the AFL now demand Matt Crouch to concede that position and stop to do everything he can to prevent injury. And if you don't do that, you get suspended, which Matt Crouch has. What doesn't make sense is how Zach Butters got off.
Yeah, no, I think he was very, very lucky, which is, that's fine. You got
to
take your
luck
when you get it.
Absolutely, good luck. If the rumours around are that they protected him because he's a Brownlow Medal favourite, that is an absolute joke.
Yeah, garbage. Yeah, that is garbage.
But if they could even consider that because he's a gun player.
You get the feeling, though, that happens. Dusty had a couple of
close
Tiki
calls.
Touchwood's one in 2017.
Nick Dacos.
Mm. So they were all.
Oh, hello.
Clayton and Oliver did.
They were late
with
in the
tackle,
theory,
remember?
Yeah. They were later in the year, and it was clear that they were favourites.
Patrick Cripps won the Brownlow when he got it overturned.
They've all had them. There's all incidents.
Nat Fyfe actually got suspended.
We might just fine them.
Well, congratulations. Finally, they're on the board. The Adelaide Crows, a much-needed win for their confidence.
And about Crows are back.
About time Matty Nix played the kids in the midfield. Hello, Nixie. Hello. Are you there? Terrific to see Saligo Berry in the last quarter. Rankin.
Oh, yes, Charles. I'm here. What did you want?
Rochelle.
Don't talk behind Nixie's back when he's not here.
I tell him when, don't it? I always say to Nixie.
What about me, Josh?
Sorry, Nixie. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
And so, shortly, we're going to catch up with Jason Dunstall too. So yes, don't go away on the podcast, pardon?
Yes, we are.
Yeah, we are.
What's that got to do with Nixie?
No, well, I'm just hooking. This is what you do in radio on the
randomly
podcast.
Randomly hooking.
Okay.
Okay, what's your take out of the Adelaide Crows performance?
I think it was an improvement again. They've been improving each week. I don't think it was sensational, but it was good to win, to beat Carlton. Carlton in Melbourne is obviously a good win. A little bit of luck. They kicked straight. They didn't really dominate. They didn't win clearance. They didn't win contested ball. But, you know, they took up against the unbeaten side in Melbourne, away from home where they haven't been able to win. So I think you've got to give them credit. They moved the ball better.
That's better.
They lowered their eyes.
There you go.
Hit some targets.
They hit some targets. And what do you know? Tex kick four as a result.
Well, that's what we've been saying. It's all about the ball movement to look after these forwards.
Who impressed you, Byrne?
I thought Berry was good when he came on. He,
10
he showed
disposals.
A bit.
Terrific.
Yeah, kicked that last goal. But it was
he'll come in for Crouch now.
Impressive.
Won't
he? Yeah, he will. Impressive way to just hang in there, because they weren't the better side for, you know, you could argue it was probably a,
well, they had 15 lead changes the whole game.
15 is huge. Carlton would have been 5-0, as you said, which would have been the first time they've 5-0 since 1995, which was a premiership year for Carlton. So very, very good win to hang in there, kick the last three goals, and just found a way to win. And if you're going to make finals, or you're going to, that's probably the difference, those sort of games. They're easy just to just lose or just lose. And Crows did a lot of that last year. So they found a way to win. I thought their setups were very good when they hit the front row. They got a lot of numbers. They obviously know their late in games. Adelaide?
Crows, yeah.
Adelaide, late in games. And every team has these plans, but I thought their planning when they were the few points up around the footy and behind the ball, I thought that looked very safe. They just try to create stoppage, get it wide, jump on the ball, create tackles, and not spill the ball out. A lot of times you take the ball and you want to give it to someone because that's your natural instinct, but they got the ball, got the tackle, got tackled, another stoppage, slow it down, a lot of numbers. I thought they did that really well.
Jarz, you'd have to like Jake Saligo.
Oh, but Rupert, I love the way he plays because he's clean with the footy.
He is clean.
He makes good decisions under pressure.
He does.
He's going to be the number one star in that midfield in years to
come. He's a genuine mid. He's the most genuine mid out of the
youngsters,
isn't
he? He's going to be right up there with the best in years to come. I love the way he moves and he covers the ground really well, and he's got good footy IQ.
Mm. Rankin's not a natural mid, but he can do his part.
But give it,
he was in there a lot. He was good.
Yeah, he's a spurter.
Yeah,
he had 20-something centre bounces.
A squirter or a spurter?
Oh. No, he's not a squirter, Joe. Don't bring your home life into the studio, please.
He's a...
Spits and spurts. Just spit in there, do your stuff, go forward, kick a goal.
Bit of a broken sprinkler or something.
Saligo is a genuine mid.
And I love it that he's backed him in, and you've got Dawson, who played his role beautifully, did the great job on trips
like
around
forward.
The stoppages. Yeah, I do too.
Jeez,
I like him off halfback.
Anyway.
He's good in the air.
Yeah,
that's why he's the club captain. But the question is, where does that leave Matt Crouch and Rory Laird?
You just play
in years
them one at a time. Go
in
through
the
guts. There. Absolutely,
but they play in there together a lot. Is that going
to?
Are they going
to
have
to change? You know what it's like. Sometimes they don't. I don't think that what they don't want is three slow ones in there. The language of slow, but
they are.
Probably right.
They ball hit. They're good ball getters, but
you just don't want three of them at once. Nah. So they got to get that balance right, which they know.
And Ben Keyes gets a 3-year contract. That was his best game for the club.
Yep.
I think he plays a lot of
games. That was his best game for the club.
Really
consistent.
I got to clap him because I have been critical of the young man.
I know you have.
You know, only just his skill set, not his endeavour.
His work ethic and leadership's exceptional.
So well done. 3-year contract.
Three.
Yeah.
What did you say then?
Three.
So anyway, they got Essendon and then North Melbourne. Byrne, you mentioned on the rush hour, top rating rush hour yesterday, the Crows could be 3-4.
Well, I think you said that, but I said one week at a time.
Yes, you've got to take it one week at a time.
Is what they'll say. You're really ahead of yourself.
He goes, well, we've got Essendon this week, win that, North Melbourne. Jeez, I tell you.
No, I'll just chalk them in.
We'll be 8-4. Chalk them in into the showdown to go 4-4.
No, big game Friday night. Yes. In
well, they're up and down.
Big crowd and big TV audience, so they can really put themselves on show, Adelaide.
Butts out. They have got, listen to the Adelaide outs for this week now. Right. Butts, Crouch, Thilthorpe, Murray, Millerer, Murphy, Schomburg, Sloan and Parnell. There's 9 players
That's
on their list.
That's a lot.
And probably 7 of their best 20.
That's sounding like excuses, Jars.
No, but I know what that's like. I know what that's like when you lose some quality.
Have you got some players out of your team?
I'm up to 5 now for the season.
Right,
and then 3 of them are A-grade footballers. You can't replace them. It does hurt you.
Worrell started looking good when he started leaving his man and going for the marks.
Yes, he stopped playing. Well, that's what happens. You start playing safe as a defender.
Can't
when,
do that.
When the midfield isn't winning ball or the ball's coming in too often, you just lock down. But now, with a bit more pressure through the midfield, those players can start to hedge their bets.
Him and Hinge started doing a few intercepts.
And Hinge has been pretty poor. I think he'd admit that.
He's been out of form.
So he looked a lot better.
Do you like Nankervis?
Yep, I do.
Yeah, I do.
I do like Nankervis.
Do you like Cook?
Oh, I think like there's something about him.
There's something there.
I need to watch a bit more of him. But
He's good. Outside player, but good finisher. Yeah. Uses
the
ball well.
That's what you want. Good ball use.
Leave him on a wing. Don't try and create anything else.
Anyway,
but wing.
Let's go to Port Adelaide.
Port Adelaide.
Talk to me. Now, whose phone's that? Oh, that's probably Ditz.
That's a nursery rhyme.
Is that Jason Dunstall?
Play that to
the
kids.
What the hell is that alarm?
That was a
alarm to say 10 minutes before we interviewed Jason Dunstall.
Oh, what a lot.
That is professionalism personified.
That's not one of those things you wind up like for little girls.
Lolly clock, lolly jar.
Now, Port Adelaide got another win.
Did you have one of those when you were a kid?
I think I did. Or more myself. I've got 4 sisters, Roo.
Are they playing well? Have they played
they
well the last 2 or 3 weeks?
They super well on the weekend, but got the chocolates, which is a good sign.
Frio can do that. I said that
I've done a few Frio games this year, and they drag everyone down to a level.
Very good defensively.
Good defensively.
Hard to score against.
You're not going to play the most sexiest footy against Fremantle. But to win is a big tick. I thought they were the better side most of the night, Frio.
Yeah, they were.
Frio. I thought they were.
And they were against Carlton.
I know they were.
And they didn't win either.
Mate,
you
unbelievable.
Because they can't kick enough scores.
No, I know. They leave the door ajar for teams to come back that can score quick because they don't score enough themselves, which is their problem. We'll talk about Port, though.
Might be different next year when Logan McDonald's up forward for them.
Oh, you're heading back to Perth. Oh, there he just dropped it.
Finally dropped something for a change. What about Dixon and Tom Marshall? How'd you see their performance?
Dixon, I thought, was all right. His role is just spanked early. He's just got to bring it down.
Yeah.
But Spears is probably the best fullback in the comp at the moment.
He's playing very well. I love the interaction with him and Ken Hinckley.
Good.
Charlie Dixon.
I thought that was genuine angst.
Yeah, but I liked it. He had a point. You don't have to go, okay, coach, yes, I love you, coach. This is it. I don't even know what was said. We haven't really heard, but excuse me. I just love that he had a strong conversation on the field with his coach because not many do that.
Doesn't happen much these days. Most coaches don't even bring it up.
Nah.
And then most players will just shut up.
Good it was brought up.
It's good. It's healthy.
Good point. It wasn't unhealthy the way Dixon went
if
back.
If they lost, would they have made a bigger story about it?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, they would have been. All the media around Australia would have.
If side was going poor and that happened, they'd go, there's
friction between
players. Kenny probably wouldn't bring it up because then you lack care. I think it showed good care, and Kenny had a bit of a smile on when he walked away.
If you've coached a player for as long as Ken's coach, Charlie, you can have a strong conversation. It's coming from the right place.
Respect's still there.
Yep, you know how to get the best.
Now, they got the job done, but against Collingwood this Saturday, MCG.
They're beatable.
This is Triple M's rocking football at
quarter past one. They are beatable.
Who are?
The last year's premiers.
You reckon the Pies are a little bit suspect now.
Of course they're suspect. They only just beat bloody Hawthorn in Adelaide. They're coming off a bye. That might be good for them.
Yeah, well, that's going
to
be a
terrific
game.
They need to get
game.
Going,
this will be where,
Collingwood.
We'll know where Port's at, won't we?
Yeah, this is good because this game last year, Collingwood smashed them about round 3, I reckon.
Destroyed them.
And then there might have been one more poor game from Port, and then they went on that streak of 13 in a row. So
when Treaders came out and said that untenable.
Yeah. What was it?
Untenable.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So
Unkennable.
untenable, I said.
I think there's a
that's
K in there
Warren
somewhere.
That's Treadray said.
I don't know if you put the K at the start or the finish. I'll
tell you one player that I really enjoy watching is that young Drew.
Yeah, he's
Willem
good.
Drew.
I
very
like
good.
Him.
Workmanlike.
Yeah, that's all you want. Hands dirty, not the flashy
he's
outside.
He's actually a very good finisher, Jars, which you would like. His kicks inside 50 hit there.
Underrated.
That's what you want.
And he starts on their best player as well. And he doesn't tag, but he starts on them and makes sure they don't get the clearance. Then he's straight into getting the footy or helping out. He works to the next contest. He's so that player in any team is so important. Yeah. That defensive sort of mind.
If you need to shut one down, send him to him.
The others like with Butters confidence. Is going to go at the footy. Rosie's going to go at the footy. Horn Francis is a natural ball getter.
Yeah.
Probably is slightly a little bit more.
Not bad for the fifth best midfielder, is he?
Oh, no, he just
after Wines.
He's just as important as the rest of them though, because he completes the others.
Yeah, like it. Hey, before we wrap the show up, we're going to catch up with Jason Dunstall. I'll get your tips. Crows, Essendon. Rupert?
I think the Crows will go back
Tick.
To back.
Yep. Burn.
Essendon too inconsistent for me. Yep. Can't defend.
I like it. Crows for me. And in Port v. the Pies.
Hang on. What did you just say?
Crows.
What do you...
I'm not a fan of Essendon. No, I'm not a fan of Essendon.
Oh, that's why
I've got no trust. I've got no trust for Essendon.
No.
You don't know what you're going to get.
No.
A bit like the Western Bulldogs. Who's the first coach going to get clipped?
Is Bevo in trouble?
Oh, Bevo, big trouble.
Is he?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Right up next, we'll take a break.
Port and Collingwood?
And we'll have Jason Dunstall.
What about Port and Collingwood?
Well, we spoke about Port and Collingwood.
Did we say who's going to win?
Yeah, all right, Byrne.
Collingwood for me.
Rupert?
In a tight one.
Port.
Whee. I'm going with Rupert Port. There
I'm
you
going
go.
Collingwood by 5 points, Jazz.
All right.
I reckon they got the wobbles.
Collingwood wobbles. I'll say it again. We'll catch up with a legend of our game, Jason Bungold Dunstall.
He's a Hawthorn superstar. He's the third highest goal kicker of all time. Three-time Coleman medalist. Four times best and fairest and a four-time premiership winner.
Dunstall on the right, put the champion foot forward. Hooks a trophy's fifth. What a goal!
Soon to be elevated to legend status. Please welcome to the bump.
Jason Dunstall.
The Chief, Jason Dunstall.
Welcome to the podcast, you superstar. Congratulations, mate. Absolutely very proud of you and what a career you've had. You're a legend. What does a legend do?
Very little. Thank you very much. It's great to be here. And one thing I do know is that Jars did not do that intro because it was far too complimentary. You've caught me just out having a walk around Albert Park Lake, gents.
Oh, God. Are you usually sleeping at this time, Chief?
Hey.
Well, you're a late starter, let's be honest. You told me you go to bed late, you get up late.
That's it.
I do. And I got up at about, I got about 20 past 10.
I don't know why, but Jars is just handing me a bit of paper. Ask him what he's wearing. What's this all about?
Jars is an imbecile. You two haven't worked that out. Listen to the maniacal cackle that's going on.
Yeah, I know.
It's ridiculous. Jars, just for your edification, Jars.
Yes.
It's a little cool over here, so I've got a long sleeve T-shirt under a short sleeve T-shirt, and I've got some sports pants over some Lycra bike pants underneath.
Leggings, yeah.
I've got some short socks and a pair of runners on, Jars, and a cap.
Yeah.
And I guess that's really amusing because you're laughing like a fool of a man.
No, I could just see you around Albert Park with just your outfit.
What?
And not walking at an expressive pace. It'll be very, very laconic, surely.
I'm not sort of clocking over 4 minute Ks, but I woke up breathing and I'm still breathing and I'm actually moving in a forward direction, so we're all happy.
All I can say is you're lucky you got Darren Jarman at Hawthorn and not Andrew, mate.
100%.
Now, I saw your interview yesterday, Jason. You said very unusual in your world where you've grown up with sledging and potting each other. But yesterday you had so many people just giving you lovely messages. How did you handle it?
It was a very difficult day, Roo. It's just because we're just not used to that. We're all from the same era. Bernie's a bit younger, but he's still been sledging up. Just look at his head. So we all know what it's like to have your friends sort of keep your feet firmly planted on the ground.
Mm.
But yesterday it was just nicety after nicety, and it gets a bit uncomfortable after a while.
Yeah, well, we'll wear that off pretty quickly and get back to normal Triple M behaviour soon.
True. You start thinking you're a good bloke after a while. You got to pull yourself back in.
Yeah, no, we'll do that for you. Hey, speaking of DJ, I've had a few chats with you about your favourite players that you played with or your favourite players to lead to. Yep. Give us your top couple.
Well, I did the top three on couch. And I said, D. Jarman, number one.
Yeah. Yep.
I said, Jay Platton, number two.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
And D. Pritchard, number three.
Pritchard, yeah, okay.
But I mean, look.
Anyone stiff?
Bucky, very stiff. But Bucky only did it on his right foot, whereas those three could do it on both sides. Yeah.
Gary Buchanara?
Yeah, Benny Allen was a great kid.
Benny Allen.
There are a heap of them, mate. Yeah. I was very fortunate.
Who was your hardest opponent?
Oh, Sauce by a mile.
Stephen Silvani.
Why is he so hard, Bungo?
He's fullback of the century for a reason, you imbeciles.
I didn't ask the question, Jake.
I kicked five on him one day. Couldn't have been that hard.
Oh, what was he? 37 by then. Really?
40, I think.
And he first time I played full forward.
He is a bloody good player.
He is.
Quick, strong, tall, gangly arms. He could hold like no other without giving free kicks away and then wins like blue bloody murder when the umpire ever pinged him or if he got away with one on him.
So Stephen Silvani.
Beautiful looking man, too.
Chase.
And he sent me a beautiful message. Yeah. A beautiful message yesterday.
Chase, we're talking to Jason Dunstall. He's been elevated to the legend status of the AFL comp. What does that mean? What does this mean for you and your family?
Look, it's an incredible privilege that you don't expect, Charles, because there's only, I think I'm number 32 now in the history of the game. So that's pretty elite company. That's why it doesn't sit quite as comfortable as you might imagine, because you feel a little bit out of your depth. But look, the family were thrilled, my brothers and nephews in particular, absolutely love football and they were thrilled with the news and they'll be coming down to help me celebrate, so it'll be great.
Hey, you don't show too much emotion, Chief. Are you going to get emotional when you're inducted or you have to do your speech or have you felt emotional?
No, I wouldn't think so, Bern. I mean, I've been around long enough. I think, look, I'll feel emotional, but if you expect me to burst out into tears, it's
Daisy
probably
style.
Probably not going to happen, no.
Bung, who's been your favourite players to watch over the last 20 or so years? Are you a big Buddy Franklin fan or was he number one? Or who do you like watching?
Well, Buddy was different to everyone else, wasn't he? Yeah. He was just a 6'6" running machine that could bomb it from anywhere. Completely different to anything we'd really seen. Even different to Cooter. You know, he was just a superstar to watch. There's a lot of really good players. I love watching Paddy Cripps go to work because he's not blessed with great speed, Paddy, but he finds a way to get the job done. Great leader. He's a superstar. So, but, I mean, I was asked about the game, and I say the same things that I've always said. Even in our day, there were great games and there were crap games. Same thing applies today. It might be a different style of game, but there are still some cracking games we get to watch and still a few that you sit through and go, geez, I've just wasted a couple of hours of my life. but you know what? We live for the game, mate, and we're very lucky and very fortunate to work in this industry.
Hey, Chief, you played with and against a lot of big personalities. Who are the biggest couple you played with and against? So, you know, Derm springs to mind, Gary Ayres, a different cat.
Is Lee Matthews still playing
Dipper,
when you were there?
Dipper.
I had 1 year with Barney, so his last year was my first year.
Yeah.
Didn't talk much to me, Barn, you know.
Just like you,
probably
the kids.
He probably didn't know who I was. But, you know, Dipper and Dermot, two of the biggest personalities that have ever played the game. So very hard to go past. So they were classical showmen. But they could back it up. They could back it up with the way they played. Against this, Alan Jakovic. Now, there's a man that could put on the show.
Alan Jakovic.
Underrated.
Small forward.
When he was hot, he was on and could celebrate like no other.
That's good. Blast from the past.
Bung.
Yeah. Oh, and there's also a bald bloke from Adelaide. What's his name?
Smarty.
Nigel Smart.
Nigel Smart.
Surely. Can't be this bloke. No.
No, Andrew Jarman.
Oh, hey.
I did stuff all in 6 years.
You were
years
kissing
of AFL.
To the crowd.
Yeah, but that was just being
push-ups
an idiot. Nothing's changed.
Well, Bung, congratulations
proud of you, mate.
On getting elevated AFL Hall of Fame legend status. We look forward to the Hall of Fame night in June when you get inducted and hopefully have a great night. And I love working with you on Fox. I reckon you are the best special comments person in the game. I've always thought that. Thanks for joining us.
I appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much. And Roo, you'll be able to tell Jars and Bernie what the Hall of Fame night's like after we go.
Don't bring that up. Jars is dirty as on that.
He's still waiting.
He's filthy on it.
I even know all these stats. He keeps telling me he's not in there. 330 games, two McGarry medals.
See you, great five.
He's in the Sandful Hall of Fame, Jase.
See you later.
See you, mate.
Legend, Jason Dunstall.
Yeah, brilliant.
Great stuff. Great chat with a great man, Jason Dunstall. Well deserved.
Look, he is a superstar. Is. And I mean, I've worked with a few people in the commentary box. I reckon he is the best all-round person. Beautiful. Sees the game brilliantly.
Yeah. Great analyst.
I love how he gets angry too. He doesn't give much away, does he? If you have a crack at him, you've got to be very careful and you've got to have all your ducks lined
up. Why?
Because he'll rip you apart if you leave a little
gap.
In your information.
Because he's smarter than the average footballer.
He's smarter than us, right?
He was the acting CEO of the Hawthorn Football Club when he needed to be.
He's too smart for me anyway, which means he's way too smart. So,
shut up. I don't go down that path. I've got an IQ of 140.
Harvey's here today. He's five and he's got you covered.
His Saturday rub stuff with Danny Frawley back in the day and Brayshaw, legendary.
Yeah, legendary. And this is a legendary podcast, The Bump. Goodbye.
Where's our sponsor?
See you next week.
Hello. Get on board.
Roo, Dits, Bernie, Jars. Triple M's The Bump.